We're learning last week. We're still learning Torahs from the Me'ashiloch, from Rav Mordechai Yosef, from Ishbitza. We were talking last week about what is it that we can accomplish in our relationship with people outside of Klal Yisrael. We're going to continue a little bit along these lines. It all has to do with the subject that we've been discussing now for over a month, Chisaron and Birur, the fact that every person is born with something, with a certain deficiency, with something wrong, and the object of the person's life is to be misakin that, and all the difficulties that the person goes through along the path to reach the final Birur, the final clarification or rectification of that person's particular neshama. So we're going to learn a small piece now from Kiseitse. And then we're going to learn from his son, from the Beis Yankov, from Ishbitzer, to try to fill in on what we're doing. There's a small piece, Kiseitse Lemelchama Leivecha. It's the page that doesn't have a number. So I figure, why should I have to, if you know what 2 and 3 is, why do you have to know what 1 is? Right? It's not 2 and 3. Kiseitse Lemelchama Leivecha. So everybody knows that the parasha here is talking about, and Kiseitse is talking about going out to war with our enemies. And if a person sees by the milchama, by the war, an eishes yifas tovar. If a Jewish soldier is attracted to a non-Jewish woman, so then there's a whole procedure that the Torah gives us, whereas this woman would be permitted under certain circumstances. So, in all of Chassidus, we know that it's a very fundamental fundamental teaching of all Chassidus Sfarim, is that whatever we have in the Chumash, whatever we're taught in Tanakh, applies to each person and each individual's Avodas Hashem forever. So, Inyan Bezek Kamoishin is Bor B'chelek Rishna Apostolik Nichachoy Sachanu Al Hayom, which is the piece that we did last week. Shekol Uma Me'akum Yesh LaKoach Miuchad. That's what we were talking about at the end last week. That every non-Jewish nation has a certain Koach, a particular strength, a particular Koach. Now that it's happened that historically that particular koach has been taken by those nations to an extreme and has brought about their own destruction. But every nation has a certain koach. Remember when the Rebbe was saying how Klal Yisrael don't. Klal Yisrael have this quality that's called pshitus. That is, they're prepared for anything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. But every other nation has koach miyuchad, lezu chachma. One nation has a certain koach of chachma, of wisdom. Lezu aisher. Wealth, lezug gvura, courage. Va'koach hanimtza behem eno nikra chayim klal rak chayisha. That koach that the non-Jewish nation has, that strength that the non-Jewish nation has, is only called chayisha, which means what? Temporary or momentary life. In other words, for a brief moment in time. Now that could last, you know, a couple hundred years for us. But for a brief moment in time, there's a certain koach, there's a certain enormous energy that is manifested in the world through the Babylonians or the Persians or the Romans, whoever it may be. But it's called chayisho. It's not called chayim mamish. It's not called chayi olam, something that lasts forever. It's a chayisho. It's a momentary, it's the momentary appearance of some great energy in the world, of that nation. The good that is concealed, that is within that energy. In other words, that one nation has an energy of chokhmah. Wisdom is a wonderful thing. Osher, wealth, gvur, courage and strength. These are all wonderful traits. But they don't have these traits forever. At the end of time, all of these traits are going to be gathered by Klal Yisrael. And that's what we were talking about last week. Now here he says a very big klal. It's something we've seen in other svarim. There is one thing, however, there is one aspect that nation has, that each nation has, that is called chayim. In other words, chayim life means something which lives forever. It doesn't mean momentary life. So the fact that there is wealth or there is wisdom by that nation, it's not called life because it's a momentary thing. But the tshuka, what does tshuka mean? The desire and the yearning that that nation had for what was natural to it for that moment, that tshuka, that yearning is called chayim, that's alive. Listen to what he says. In other words, this is the frustration of all people and of all nations. That there's a particular nation that Kadosh Baruch Hu has preordained is going to be mishupas, is going to be overflowing, let's say, with wealth. But they're not satisfied with that, and they look at the other nation that's mishupas b'chochma. In other words, they see another nation that's overflowing with wisdom. And the nature of all is, it says, the grass is always greener on the other side. So that nation which is mishupas, that is satiated, so to speak, with wealth, is never satisfied with that wealth, and always wants the chachma or the gevura, the other characteristic of the other nation. In other words, there is something in the world that's called a tshuka, a longing and a yearning for what you don't have. A longing and yearning for what you don't have. In the case of the nations, it's for what they can't possibly have. So he says, Zu hatshuka nikra chai. That shuka, that longing, that's called life. That's called life. As long as there's a longing, then a person's called alive. Anything, in other words, if it happens that a particular nation is mishupas, has an abundance of wealth, then the fact that that nation is comfortable with a livelihood and will have additional wealth, and that the life of the nation is not invigorated. Why? Because where is their invigoration? Where is their cheshek? Where is their real life? And real life is cheshek. Real life is cheshek. When there's, God forbid, a person who is very, very, very sick, it could be that that person is a millionaire, he's living in a mansion, he's surrounded by all his tchotchkeluch, you know, he has an art collection that he was working on for the last 50 years, and he has the most beautiful art collection. But that's not what's going to give him life at this moment. The tshuka that that person has for what's missing right now is health. Right? It's always the tshuka for something that you don't have that is called life. For what you have, that's already in a certain way a bechina of misa, something that you get used to. If you get used to something, then it's no longer called alive. It's only that which you're excited by, that which you want, that which is still missing from your life and you're seeking. The one who is seeking is alive. So the Rebbe is saying that the nation, the fact that the nation is longing for something it doesn't have, So he's explaining a little bit more what he was saying last week. Last week we were learning that the Jewish people throughout all the years of Galus have held themselves back because of the Torah, because of mitzvahs. Many things have been restricted to us, therefore we had to be soivel, we had to suffer and to tolerate. There were so many things that were missing in Galus that we can't do because of who we are, that we can't do and we can't have. And we're surrounded by nations that are mamish filled with these things, with oisher and with other things. And we look, and all the years of Galus we were soivel not having. And Hashem, we learned last week that the Rebbe said that Kadosh Baruch Hu has told us at the end of time, we're going to receive all that the nations have had, we're going to receive. So you might think that maybe that means that now we're going to be, you know, now Israel's going to have Eretz Yisrael. There's going to be the wealth that America had, and there's going to be the chachma of this or the gevura of that nation. So the Rebbe says, but really, what's going to be at the end of time? And what we can, he says, really, we can begin to work on this now. Lemais, at the end of time, we're going to have all things, but right now in this world. He says, we count time, the Jewish people count time by the moon, something we've spoken about a great deal. And the moon itself is completely lacking. All the moon has is what it receives from the sun. Therefore, the Jewish people count time by the moon because the moon is a chefetz, is an object of what? Of tshuk, of longing, of not having, of waiting. So he says, Rak tshuka shemishtekeke shechama toye ba'ayra. That is the meaning. When the Jewish people go to war with their enemies. In other words, in this world, we're surrounded by enemies. And we feel in a certain way deprived. Because we see that the enemies have things that we don't have. And maybe we're jealous about the things that they have. So the Rebbe is saying, no. What does it mean, b'shavisa shivyo? That you can capture, you can trap, you can capture and bring into your into Klal Yisrael. What is it that we're capturing? So he says, v'zeh b'shavisa shivyo, koach ha-tshuka she'etzlam, zeh koach hu b'shivyo, zeh yikablu mehem Yisrael. Avashar koicham yefasu. He says a very deep thing. That right now in this world, we cannot have the things that the nations have. Because of course, Baruch Hu has ordained, for whatever reason, that each nation has its own koach. And we can't have that. At the end of time, they're not going to have that anymore. And the Oishan, the Kov, and the Gevurah, it's all going to be by Klal Yisrael. It's all going to be by Klal Yisrael. So what can we do now? So the Rebbe is saying, what we do now in Golas is Kareisa b'shivya eishi shifaz tawar. When you see there's a beautiful woman. And who's the beautiful woman? The beautiful woman, the Rebbe is saying, is that shuka, that cheshek that the nation has, that nation has for what it doesn't have. In other words, we want to have what the nations have. It's a little abstract. We want to have what the nation has. The nation has oishur, it has gevur, it has wealth, it has whatever it has. And we want that. So Hashem's saying, nah, don't worry, I'm going to give that all to you. You can't have that now. Forget it. You're not going to have that now. You know, there are Jews who want to have the wealth of the Roman Empire. And there are Jews who want to have the Chochmah Bagoyim. They want to be as accomplished in Chochmah, in the sciences, even at the expense of studying Torah. They want to have the Chochmah of the non-Jews. And they want to have the courage, you know, they want to have the courage of of Rocky or someone. And everybody's, and you have so many Jews that they have such a longing for this, that the nation, that each nation has its koyach, and everybody, and the Yidden are trying to get that thing. Right? You go to Eretz Yisrael, and you see all this Cafe New York, Cafe Texas, Tel Aviv, right? They're more American in Tel Aviv than they are in New York. Because they think that this, and this my simcha, here is my simcha, because America has this koyach. Whatever that is. And, you know, in Eretz Yisrael they're trying to take, they take from Paris, there's Nuz, and they take from here, you know, they take from here the Oysher and so on. They're trying to take from each nation, each Ummah, they're trying to take a certain Oysher, a certain wealth that they see that nation has. And the Baruch Hashem says to us, Yidden, listen, you can't have that now. You can't. But there is one thing that you could take from the nations, and Hashem says, the Jewish people count by the moon. That means that the very tev of a yid is that he's a chaser, that he's missing. And Hashem created us in a world, Reb Tzadok talks about this a lot in Takanos HaShavan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us in a way where the Jewish people are always chaserim. Why? Because the tev of a Jew is that when he's chaser, when he's missing, when he's lacking, when he's an ani, he can daven. He can want, he can turn to the Baruch Shalom, like the moon turns to the sun, like Yehoshua turned to Moshe Rabbeinu. Like the Torah Shebaal Peh turns to the Torah Shebichsav. So what can we take from the nations? There's a beautiful Yifas Torah. There's a trap. There's an encaptured. There's a woman that's by the nations that we can take out. And she's so beautiful. And what's that? Not what the nation has. Or what? The cheshek that nation has for what it can't have. That the Jewish people can take. That we can have. What does that mean? We can have a cheshek. In other words, all we can take out from this world is increased cheshek. We can't have what the nations have. But the nations have a crazy desire for things that are not theirs. So what he's saying here is that in our lives, in this world, the one thing that Hashem has given us the strength to take from the nations is their cheshek. Is their longing. And that a Jewish person should not be jealous of. In other words, when you see, like, you know, like there's the famous story from the Kedushas Levi. They say it over from every Chassidish Rebbe, I think. But I heard it first in the name of the Kedushas Levi. Maybe it's from someone else. They say it's from Moshe Leib Sasser also. But the Maisa was that there was a certain Ganev in Berdichev. There was a thief in Berdichev. and he was caught, and he was going to be beaten by the police, and the Bedichava saw this, and what happened is that that day the Bedichava was very discouraged because he was trying to raise money for some worthy cause, and it was impossible to get the money that he needed, and he was very discouraged. So it's a famous mice that he saw this thief, and the thief was being taken away, and the Bedichava already gave up. And the Bedichava went over to him, and he said to him, to the Ganav, he says, "You would have a yosel. What's the matter with you? Don't you see every single time you get caught? You know, in those days, every town had its Ganav. So it wasn't like they had to track you down. If something was missing, it was because the Ganav took it." So the Bedichava said, "What are you doing? Every time you get caught, you get beaten." So the Ganav turned to the Bedichava. He says, "Rebbe, this time maybe they caught me. But next time, I'm going to get away with it. Next time." There's no yeyush. You know, not to be misyayish, not to give up hope. Next time it'll be good. So the ditch was, it hit him like a ton of bricks. He heard the Bernstein was telling him, "Here it is, this Ganav is going to do Neveira. He's going to do a sin. And he's not misyayish. He has a cheshik. Even if he gets beaten up, he's going to go ahead with this cheshik. And I'm going to do a mitzvah. I'm trying to collect money because I got a couple of negative answers. So already I lost my cheshik." So the Bedichra drew out from that episode a cheshik. A cheshik. We're surrounded by such cheshik. There's such a longing for craziness. There's such a tshuka for craziness. So that we can enliven ourselves with a cheshik. And that's chaim ad oilam. That's eternal life. See, the goyim have that. They have that chaim they have. Each one's particular koach is going to be lost at the end of time. They're not going to have any more oishin, gvur, and anything. That's finished. That's gone. Well, that's going to all be gathered up to Klai Yisrael. But what they do have now is maridik achiyas. They have chiyas. They have chayim. The only eternal life that the non-Jewish nations have is they're longing for things that they don't have. Not what they have. So isn't the Rachmanis, the Rebbe saying, it's such a Rachmanis that we want to have the things that they have, and really all we should want to have is the longing that they have for what they don't have. Instead we want what they have. It's an Irish guy. We should want to do things with such a cheshek. When like it says in the Svarim say, you know, you learn out how you can learn from the Yetzer Hara. You know, you can learn out from the Yetzer Hara. In love and garti, tarek mitzvah shamarti, the dafke that a Jewish person could be really could be empowered and energized by the koach, by the opposite koach. This is a very fundamental teaching of Chassidus. That's why, you know, it's connected to what we're doing last week. That's what a person has to take out from this world. And you have in all this farm to learn, you know, to learn from the Yetzer Hara, to learn from the tachsisim of the Yetzer Hara. You know, that they say, look how, I once told you here in Shul, you spoke about that, they say that, you know, Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, when he was a child, it was known that he used to answer his father in a way not so much with Derech Eretz, like that's what they say. His father's the Beis Halevi. So I once mentioned here that he didn't want to get up to daven at the time. He couldn't stand getting up early for davening. No. So what happened? So one time he couldn't get out of bed, and his father said to him, look at this, Chaim, look at this. It's the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, the evil one is up even before you. He's up before you telling you to stay in bed. Do you see that? He's telling you to stay in bed. Aren't you embarrassed that the Yetzer Hara is up before you telling you to stay in bed? So he said, why should I be embarrassed? The Yetzer Hara doesn't have any Yetzer Hara telling him to stay in bed. So he said, I have a Yetzer Hara. He doesn't have a Yetzer Hara telling him to stay in bed. but I think where I saw this mice brought down, the point of course is that when it comes to the side of Ra, we see in ourselves when it comes to doing an Aveira, or Chalila, if it's not even for an Aveira, when it comes to, if you know, you go to a smorgasbord and you see the Kanainahara, the energy that people have, you know, you can see people that normally have trouble walking. When it comes to a smorgasbord, you see everybody like throws away their cane and kicks over the wheelchair and everybody's running to the smorgasbord, you know. If a person would have such a tshuka, such a cheshek for Dvarim Shebekedusha, how much we can learn out to be Bali cheshek, and even if we don't believe it in the beginning, because we don't feel it, what do you mean, you're supposed to rush to davening, you don't feel it, but if you imitate that, if you start from a moment and you think, look, when I have to be at a show on time, or when it's something that I really enjoy, I have to go someplace to eat, I have such a cheshek and I go on time, so let me consciously impersonate myself. Let me now, at a time that I'm doing something which is a darbisha b'kedusha, I'm going to daven. Look, you know, it could be in a shul. The oilam will slowly wander in. you know, at you know, people walk in, if davening is supposed to be, if davening is supposed to be 8:30, 10 to 9 on the Shabbos, 9 o'clock, 9:15. If a person would say, listen, if it would come, let's say you had, if you had tickets to the World Series, to the 7th game of the World Series, and Mickey Mantle was still alive, and you had tickets to the 7th game of the World Series, so what, you'd show up at the 3rd, 4th inning? Meshuggah? You paid for the ticket so much money, and it's your favorite team. So this shuka, this cheshik that we're lacking, we could take from the forces of impurity. And taking, it's not something which is, all right, of course in the Sfarim it means something which is very mystical and abstract. But it means on a simple level to impersonate, to make believe. Now, on the second page, it says Bes Yaakov on it. Bes Yaakov is, we have only a small amount of this, of the Bes Yaakov. This is what we have on Bereishis. Bereishis is around 500 pages, tiny print, two columns on Bereishis. We have on Shmos and Vayikra, the rest was lost. And then he had also Sheas and Shuvas, and he had on Zoyer, and he had on Rambam. This is the son of the Me'er Shiloach, Rabbi Yaakov from Ishbitzer. Most of his Torahs are to explain the teachings of his father. Most of his Torahs to explain his father's teaching. He had a very different temperament. And if you show me if time in the future, I'll tell you some stories about the Rabbi Yaakov Ishbitzer. This is an absolutely extraordinary piece, and it has to do with what we're talking about. By Yom Elokim, Chof Hei. So this is at the beginning of creation of the world. It says the word or five times. And the Zohar makes a big deal. He doesn't bring down the Zohar, but the Zohar makes a big deal in the Tikkunim. He makes a big deal about the five times that it says or, light. It says light five times right away. But the creation of life. Then it says, Hashem saw that the light was good. And he separated between the light and the dark. And he called the light day. It says five times light. What this is hinting at are the five stages, the five phases that every person goes through, that every person should go through, in order to reach a stage of shleimus, in order to reach a stage of perfection, to accomplish what you can. In other words, to come to a state of birur, of clarification, and finding out who you are, and fulfilling your particular, your unique role in the Bria and creation, there are five stages. Each one corresponds to another word, or, in the psukim. And where do we see this from? So it says Vayishnu Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or. It says Vayomer, the first one it says Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, and Hashem said, let there be light. Ve'isa Bereishis Rabba Parsha Bei Ze Avram. Chazal make a connection between the Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or and Avram Avinu, that the world was stumbling in darkness. Chazal, there are a number of Chazals that deal with this. That the world was stumbling in darkness until Avram Avinu came into the world, right? And Vayom Elokim Yehi Or, and God said, let there be light, that's Avram Avinu. Because now the world has meaning. Light means meaning. Light means direction. Light means clarity. So Chazal say that Avram Avinu's life is somehow being hinted at in this pasuk that speaks about the creation of light. Because when it says Vayom Elokim Yehi Or, who is it talking about? Avraham. So if the first pasuk of when Hashem said, let there be light, is talking about Avram Avinu, it would follow that what? That the verses following are also talking about somehow different stages in what? In Avram Avinu's unfolding into a great tzaddik. So since Avram Avinu is our father, every single thing that Avram Avinu went through is a plan and a method of how you and I are to achieve greatness. How we're to come to a level of biur. So he says, "Avram Chadisa Bereishis Rabbis Avram Avinu Ben Shalosh Shanim Hikir Is Bayro." The Medrash says that when Avram Avinu was 3 years old, he recognized the Creator. When he was 3 years old, It's machlokas. But it's brought in the Medrash this opinion that he was 3 years old. Ubemis, the Rebbe asked, Eich efsha hakarak ezayis be'el hashanim. How is it possible in those years for Avraham Avinu to reach such an understanding? Hale hakaras abari hu tachlos hashleimus. Hakaras Hashem, to recognize Hashem, to understand Hashem, that's the greatest level of perfection that a human being can achieve. And how could it be that Avraham Avinu achieved that when he was 3 years old, and taking into account the yeshiva he went to and his father? How could he have achieved all of that? And not only that, he says, V'gam b'zor kodesh isish lo'y nishlam adakeida, and it says in the Zohar, Avraham, Avraham, psik taimah, basra, shlim kadmah, lo'y sholim. It says in the Zohar Kodesh that Avraham, when Hashem said by the Akedah, Avraham, Avraham, twice, Hashem called Avraham, Avraham, it means that there are two stages in his life. The first part of his life was incomplete. That's the Avraham Aleph. And when is Avraham the Madura Tanyana, the second edition of Avraham Avinu? Is the post-Akedah. After he brought up Yitzhak to slaughter his son, then he reached the level of Avraham. The first Avraham Aleph was not Bishlemus, was not complete. When was Avraham Avinu completed? Upon the Akedah, when he brought his child up for the Akedah. So the Rebbe is asking Akasha, number one, how could it be that when he was 3 years old, he already recognized Hashem, since recognizing Hashem is the greatest level of perfection a human being can achieve? Number one. Number two, the Zohar says that he was only perfected, when did he reach his Shleimus? Only when? By the Akedah, by the sacrifice, by the binding of Yitzchak. So what does it mean? What is meant that when he was 3 years old, Hikir is Bairo? What does that mean? And there's a very beautiful and very deep idea that he says here. And it's something for each one of us. It's a game plan. And we missed the 3 years old already. We're past the 3 year old date to start, but we still have time. One. El Abir Bezehu, like this. I numbered them to, so you can like join them. Like, you know, you have numbering the, you know, you join the dots. So here you can join the points together. Number one. Sha'avram Avinu Olav Shalom. What is the meaning of that first verse? And God said, let there be light. And that's Avraham. And Chazal say he recognized God. It doesn't mean that he understood God on a deep metaphysical, Kabbalistic level. It doesn't mean that. What does it mean? It means, that when he was a child, he saw that nothing in the world gave him satisfaction. Nothing in the world made him feel good. Nothing in the world felt right. Ad Shabba El Shlemuso. That until he was able to find himself, until he was able to come to that level that we've been speaking about, that's called Bira, the clarification of what his role is in this world, until that point, Avraham Avinu felt incomplete, felt that he was missing, could not find happiness. He didn't have any naicha from anything, any nachas from anything. So here the Rebbe is saying that this is the opposite of the nations. The nations, when they're doing something, at the moment that they're doing it, he's not counting what he said, what the father said. At the moment that they're doing it, they feel that this is my whole, this is everything, this is great, this is fantastic, this is the most wonderful thing, and they have an oinik from this world. They have naicha from Tanug Olam Hazeh. But lo yachslahem dover. They feel that nothing is missing until after the tainig is over. When the moment of pleasure has ended, then they're miserable for something else. But at the moment that they're having that pleasure, it's more than the person could want. It's fantastic. Lo yachslahem dover. K'mayish nemar ashecholik Hashem elokeichem ayisom lekol amin. Avol Avraham Avinu olav shom lohayi lo shum naicha medivrei Olam Hazeh. From the time that he was 3 years old, Avraham Avinu realized that there's nothing in the world that's causing him to feel good about himself, that's causing him to have a tainug. The beginning of serving Hashem is Vayom Elokim Hi Or, and God said, let there be light. When Hashem infuses within the individual a dissatisfaction with physical things, it doesn't mean a bitterness. It means a feeling that this isn't it. And that comes from Hashem. That's a gift from Hashem. Vayom Elokim Hi Or. That Kosh Baruch has infused within the Jewish soul a natural dissatisfaction with things of this world. A recognition that this is not it. And from the time that he was a little boy, From the time that he was 3 years old, he began to look for the truth. It's not, in other words, he didn't reach his shleimus. When it says hikir is baro, the meaning of hikir is baro doesn't mean that he came to his level of perfection, but he recognized. That he already recognized when he was 3 years old. Vashenihu. That's the first light. So the first thing that begins to dawn upon a Jewish person, and you could find almost any person in the world that already has seen this light a million times. They just looked, they figured, well, it's because I didn't have the best car. I didn't have the best girlfriend. I didn't have the best house. The first thing that a person feels is the first or the first light that illuminates a Jewish consciousness is that this isn't, that I'm not finding it here. I'm unhappy. I'm not finding gratification of what I'm doing. That's the first light. That's Vayom Lekim Hi Or. Vashenihu, the second. Vayihi Or. The second time it says in Torah light is, and there was light. Vayihi Or. Hainu Shachakach Bo Lavrom Avinu Yoyser HaKara Ad Shehevin Lahachis Kol Koichas Shal Olam Hazeh. The second stage of Avraham Avinu's life, in other words, the first stage is a restlessness. He can't find peace. He's restless. He's unhappy. That's the first or, that's the first light that Hashem infused within Avraham Avinu. Then Avraham Avinu begins his fight against idol worship. He begins to destroy the idols of the past. He begins to mock, to make fun of that which the world takes seriously. In the first stage, there's a restlessness. You still take the world seriously, but you take the world seriously, but sof kol sof, I'm not gratified by it. Maybe there's something else that I haven't found yet. At this point of the second, and there was light means that it's clear to you that this is not it, and you begin to tear down the idols of your of the fathers and grandfathers. It says, in the beginning of his life, he thought that the sun was God. So Avraham Avinu was a great student of the world, and Avraham Avinu looked at the sun, and the sun and the sun when it was blazing in the sky. So Avraham Avinu said, "Perhaps this is God." But then the sun was set, and it has. It's not something which is permanent. It doesn't have permanent strength. It has head there. It lessens. It's diminished. It's missing. And then he thought that perhaps the moon, but then the moon also was diminished, and so on. So at this point, Avraham Avinu was beginning to realize the futility of the things of this world that are supposed to provide fulfillment, that are supposed to provide simcha. Did you ever hear of a professor, Lahavdil? Did you ever hear of Professor Alan Bloom from Northwestern? He's one of the most brilliant philosophers of the 20th century. He wrote a book called The Closing of the American Mind. Sold millions of copies. He died a couple years ago. The man was an absolutely brilliant philosopher. it's kedai to read this book, The Closing of the American Mind. So he speaks there about, he has a chapter on music, he has a chapter on university, on all the things. It's like a critique of modern American thought. So he speaks there about choice, about free choice. There's a chapter on free choice. The name of the chapter is Our Ignorance. The point is, the philosophy, he says, of the 1960s, 70s, and 80s, going into the 90s, is, I'm okay, you're okay. What does that mean? So it used to be that a person had to make a choice. And when you made a choice, you knew that perhaps the alternative is death and destruction. Perhaps it's shame. Perhaps it's guilt. If it turns out that I made the wrong choice, I might be condemned. I might be ostracized by society and so on. So Dr. Bloom says that there was once upon a time that people made real choices, and a real choice meant that you might suffer as a consequence of your choice. Therefore, choice was so precious and meaningful, because when it turned out to be good and right, it was wonderful, right? It was wonderful. He says that we're already finished with that. Because nowadays, he says that if your choice turns out wrong, it's okay, then you're called a political activist. You understand what that means? If you happen to choose the wrong thing, it's okay. You just start a new movement for that thing. It's all right. People, you know, it used to be that a person had to struggle with certain darker impulses and try to overcome them. And if he did overcome them, That's the most precious feeling in the world, to overcome a darker impulse. Now you don't have to. If you happen to have a darker impulse, it's okay. You just make a parade for that impulse. You make a parade, you make a movement, and you hire people to, you know, you have secretaries and you have a whole staff. And it's all, I'm okay, you're okay. And he says that's the greatest avla. That's the greatest injustice to human beings, to take away from him choice. Because now, and he says, and the whole thing is that nowadays they tell you everybody can choose whatever you want. In other words, what society tells us now is you have more free choice than ever before. He says, that's not called free choice. That everything you choose is good. That's not called free choice. Choice has become meaningless. Life has become meaningless, mamish. Meaningless. This had to do with the, this began with Marx and the classless society, you understand. I mean, the whole thing about Marx is to bring to a classless society. Once everybody's the same. In other words, when it says, when we were taught by our founding fathers that all men are created equal, it doesn't mean that everybody turns out equal. It means that they were created perhaps with equal potentials and so on. Whatever that means. We don't have to darsh on that. But the point is, but in America, no matter what you do, you're always equal to everybody else. In other words, even if you didn't struggle, you didn't choose, you didn't do anything right, you made the wrong choice. I'm okay, you're okay. You're entitled to your opinion. Okay, that's true that you're a mass murderer or a rapist, you're deranged, you're responsible for so much misery and suffering, but you believe in that? Okay. That's your thing. There's no choice. That's not called choice. That's called indulging and then finding some political movement to hide behind to justify a choice that is wrong. Whereas in the past, a human being had to pay for a wrong choice. If you make a wrong choice, no, that's all. Not anymore. There's no wrong choice. The Vayhi Or is, this is wrong. I've come to the conclusion of Rome Avinu says it, my mind has been illuminated to the point where I have made the choice. And it's a choice that Avraham Avinu worked for. Because everybody knows that Avraham Avinu went through how many tests? 10. And we're going to see that the last thing are his nisyonos. That Avraham Avinu had to struggle for, and he had to go against the entire world. To say that this is sheker. That's a lie. That's the second Vayhi Or. A person being willing, a person's willingness to choose at the expense of turning away from things and even mocking those things that are against what he believes to be holy and pure. Vayhi Or. That's what it says. Shachag bar v'lo v'inu yesar karad shehevin l'hachitz kol gazo yeh. Sholei v'rad v'inu 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 Hashem saw that the light was good. V'hainu, ma shenemar lo lech lecha mi'artzecha. All of this, what we've been talking about until now, is before Hashem told Avraham Avinu lech lecha, to go and to leave his father's house. All of this is taking place internally within Avraham Avinu. In other words, first that feeling of being unsettled and impatient with the world, feeling that this is not it, and then looking at the world and saying that that looking at what the philosophy of the world and saying this is sheker, this is not true. Now he hears from Hashem, the first instruction that he receives from Hashem is lech lecha, to go. Now this corresponds to the pasuk that says, and Hashem saw that the light was good. So here, for the first time, he begins to feel the goodness of the light. Because until this point, all he's had is the anxiety of being in a place where he felt was missing the point. And the second thing was struggling against the choices of a society that he disagreed with. Finally, when he's 75 years old, the Rebbe Yisrael tells him, what? Lech lecha. And you remember what does Rashi say there? L'tayvoscha l'hanoscha. What does it mean? I promise you, Hashem told him what? That because of the choice that you've made, and because of your struggle to find the truth, I am sending you in the right direction. So at this point, the person begins to feel the tayv. At the beginning, you don't feel that, but the person is beginning to feel the tayv. The tayv, the goodness here is, you begin to feel secure that you're doing the right thing, that it's going to be good for you. Hashem brings him to Eretz Yisrael, which is the place of life and the place of good of Taiv. Hashem now calls him my beloved. Now, as you're beginning to reap some of the reward, you're beginning to sense that Hashem loves you. Until this point, he didn't feel any of this. For 75 years, Hashem never spoke to him. All he had was that anxiety, that feeling of being unhappy in the world, and that feeling that the world has missed the point. But the third stage is Vayar Lekim Sa'or Kito. Hashem now says that the light is good, and you begin to feel a simcha with what you're doing. You begin to feel less deprivation. You begin to feel a simcha and a security with your life. Four. Haravi. And at this point you begin to feel that Hashem notices you. Hashem's noticing your avoda. That's why Hashem speaks to them the first time. This third stage you begin to feel Hashem has finally noticed me. Four. Haravi vayadlu kim ben oro ben achoshech. The fourth time it says or light, it says vayadlu kim ben oro. Hashem made a separation between light and darkness. What does that mean? That's when Avraham Avinu was given the mitzvah to give himself a bris milah. The bris milah means the separation between Or and Choshech, between Tov and Ra, Ben Yisrael Ba'amim, between Yisrael and the nations. Alright? Because now he became permanently, physically distinct from the nations. In other words, in the earlier stages, he's questioning, he's probing, he's uncomfortable, he's thinking, he's struggling. Now Hashem draws him closer to Eretz Yisrael. He begins to feel that Hashem is with him. And now Hashem gives him the fourth light. The fourth light is, here's the mitzvah of bris. You are different. You're forever separated. Don't think that you have any shaykhus, even though sometimes maybe your mind might wander back to the past. And maybe sometimes you're interested in what the non-Jewish nations have to offer. But the fact is that you're gemalt, that every Jew is already gemalt, so to speak. He's the bris of Avraham Avinu. The bris of Avraham Avinu means to be absolutely, utterly distinct and separate. And not only that, but even amongst Jews themselves, every Jew has to know, and we've spoken about this for the last few weeks, every Jew has to know that just as there's a separation between the Jewish people and the nations of the world, so too between one Jew and another there's a distinction. Not God forbid we shouldn't get along, but the distinction is that every Jew has, as we've been learning until now, a particular tafkid, a particular role, and a particular beer or clarification, a tachlis that Hashem has for that particular person and only him in the whole world. In that particular area, in that particular mitzvah, you must work very hard to perfect yourself more than anything else. And that one special mitzvah that you're drawn to, you have to perfect yourself. And that one aveira that you feel is tearing you down, you have to perfect yourself. Because just like Avraham Avinu had in his life at Vayavdel, in other words, when Hashem separated between the light and the darkness, in the life of Avraham Avinu, that meant the bris milah. In the life of every Jew, it means that besides the fact that we're completely separated from the nations, each Jew also has a certain vayavdel from another Jew. There's something that separates one person from another, and that's his own particular avodah. That's why you have to be aware when someone comes along and tells you that this is the way that every Jew has to serve Hashem, only this way. I mean, if someone tells you, obviously, you know, with Shabbos and with davening and with tefillin, then that's true. I'm not saying if someone comes along and tells you we have a way to serve Hashem by keeping Sundays, I mean, it's ridiculous. But I'm saying, if someone tells you that the only way that the Baruch Shalom wants you to, you know, the only tachlis that you can have in life is a chvesiv, you know, you become a baki in the zikin. You say, but I like to learn, you know, moed. So, in the yeshivas, they learn the zikin. And if you don't learn the zikin, then you're not coming to your perfection. Slav davke. I mean, it doesn't have to be. Every person has his own thing. It's like we already spoke about many times, that one person said to another, what was your father very careful with? He was careful with the mitzvah of tzitzis. And we learned from there that each Jew has his own particular inyan. That's what distinguishes one Jew from another. Five, that's vayavdel. That's the separation taking place within the life. So in your life, you have to know, where is it? You have to follow that particular or that Hashem established for you, as we've been speaking about, and to in all areas, you work as hard as you can. But you have to perfect yourself. You have to work hardest in that area, which is your or. Five. Hachamishi vayikul lekim l'or yoin. The fifth is that Hashem Yisbarach calls the or day. He calls the or yoin. So now, we would think at this point, we can't even imagine what's this going to be already. Everything's already done. So we would think now that the final light would mean, I don't know, maybe I'm even going to Olam Haba, right? It's not true. Just the opposite. What's the final light? On this point that he's making here, the Mamish talk about for years. The fifth or, what's the fifth light? Hashem called the light day. That's talking about the binding of Yitzchak. That's the Akedah. Shaz hissig Avraham Avinu al b'shalom ha'or b'shleimus ha'gomor. It's only then that he was able to acquire the light completely. Vayikra l'kim la'or yom, to give it a name. When you could name something, it's yours. It's yours. You have it. V'zehu vayikra l'kim. That's what it means by Yikra Lukim. That here it says Vayikra Lakim La or Yom Hashem called the light day. Kikrihu Lashon Chibur. The word kare means attachment. To call to something means to be attached to that thing. I'm sure the Sibit says Vikara Zel Zeh. Each angel called to the other angel. Maturga Makabim Dein Midain. And the translation of that is that each angel receives from the other. In other words, when I call to you, it means that I'm attaching myself to you. I'm becoming connected to you. That's the meaning of Mikra'i Kodesh. Every yontav is called a Mikra'i Kodesh. What does that mean? It means that the yontav is calling to you to attach itself to you in that particular way that it has. Now Hashem gives him all the light after Avraham Avinu is struggling to perfect himself in his area of greatness. You can never complete it on your own. Hashem will give you as a gift. If you struggle, if you try to find your perfection in that area that you were designated to perfect, then Kadosh Baruch Hu promises you, I will give you that madrega. That this is the way that a human being has to go through life. That in the beginning, you have to separate yourself from things and from pleasures of this world. And that's how Ravino in his earlier life. But when finally you come to the last stage, which is Shlemus, there's no longer any Vayavda, no longer any distinctions. You don't have to make separations. No longer do you have to run away. It reaches a point in your life when the beer is complete and the rectification has taken place, and at that point every single thing that you do is Kodesh Lashem, is perfect, is holy. You can't make any mistakes anymore. So what does it have to do with the Akedah? What does it have to do with the sacrifice of Yitzchak? That only by the Nisayin of the Akedah does he have this Shlemus. Because then Hashem tells him what? Ata yadaiti ki yirelu kim ata. Now I know that you are truly God-fearing. The point is that Hashem, of course, all the first thing is that Hashem knows everything about Avraham Avinu anyway. So what does he mean? Ata yadaiti ki yirelu kim ata. Now for the first time in your life, Avraham Avinu, I'm telling you in the deepest way, the struggle is complete. You've done what you could. From now on, you can be certain, I am calling the Yom, or Yom. It is day. No more Laila. No more Choshech. From now on, everything that you do is the building of Knesset Yisrael. Why was that Davke by the Akedah? Why was that by the Akedah? Notice he didn't explain here what catharsis, what manner of catharsis took place. And this, by the Akedah, and so it's a minute left. This is the difference between Kedusha and Tahara. What the Ishmael says in a different place, that Kedusha and Tahara, holiness and purification, Kedusha means separating yourself from things that are not right. Tahara means now you can come back to those things that are not right, and you're able to take from them what is good and what is right. In other words, the initial stage of a person of Avodas Hashem must be withdrawal, separation, and deprivation. That's called in Hebrew Kedusha. Tahara means, after going through the stage of Kedusha, Tahara means, now I can go back, and I can return to the same thing, but now I look at it a different way, and it can be done in absolute with absolute pureness and absolute holiness. So what happened by the Akedah? What was it that brought Avraham Avinu to that Madrega? That Kadosh Baruch Hu showed Avraham Avinu that he was willing, when Avraham Avinu saw that he was willing to give up that which was most precious in his life, and after everything, after all of his struggles from the time he was 3 years old, and he trusted in Hashem, and everything was complete, everything was perfect, and he was being drawn great, more and more into Tov, that all of a sudden Hashem is throwing him back into the complete darkness, back into Choshech, mamish into Choshech. And despite all that, Avraham Avinu remains attached to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That is the final Nisayon that a person goes through. So what he seems to be hinting at is that after we go through all the earlier stages, every Jew has to come up against some horrible, horrible Nisayon at the end of his avoda. You have to come up against some horrible test. And that's maybe the mystery of the Jewish people in these last days before Mashiach comes. In the last days before Mashiach, the test of our Amunah to continue to believe in Hashem and to be Shomer Torah Mitzvahs in these days, which is such an unbelievable test, maybe that's the test of the end of time. That's the final Nisayon. So that after we go through this, and we're still Maminim, the Baruch Shalom will tell us, Vayikul Kim Lo'or Yoyim, Vilachoshech Kar Laila, and that's the end. It's finished. the battle is over, and then from that time on, when Mashiach will come, will be the complete tikkun, and everybody will live forever in a matzav of complete and total tahara.